Today on Annenberg Radio News.
So I don't want to portray the governor as a hero here. I think that he did the right thing on some bills and unfortunately didn't on others.
Governor Schwarzenegger gives gay rights advocates some good news. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, October 13th, 2009. I'm Pete Griffin. Today, the city council reached an agreement with the police union to save the city as much as $100 million. Because of union confidentiality agreements, the details of the plan have not been made public. The agreement will keep the city from shrinking the size of the police department, despite the city's budget crisis. The union will vote on the plan in the coming weeks. Governor Schwarzenegger vetoed more than 200 bills this weekend. He also signed nearly as many into law. Jessica Flores looks at some of the bills that will affect Los Angeles.
After saying he would veto any bills that reached his desk, the governor changed his mind late Sunday night. Schwarzenegger signed 230 bills into law and vetoed 221 bills. One of the vetoed was State Senator Gil Cedillo of Los Angeles. It would have required any 710 freeway extension to be built underground. A debate has gone on for decades over whether the freeway should meet the 210 freeway above ground, in an underground tunnel, or at all. Richard Little heads the USC Keston Institute for Public Finance and Infrastructure Policy, and he says the debate isn't over. He says the underground option could be pursued by state agencies, but the bill would have at least narrowed the debate.
But I just think that local opposition to a surface route will be such that it would just never happen. I think without taking the surface route off the table, we never create a climate where the tunnel can be seriously discussed.
The governor did score political points with Mothers Against Drunk Driving. He signed a bill that creates a pilot program that requires drivers with a first-time DUI to blow into a breathalyzer installed in their car before they can drive. If the in-car device detects that the driver is drunk, the car won't start. The program will launch in 4 counties, including Los Angeles. It will start in July. This is Jessica Flores, Annenberg Radio News.
California politics have reached a new low. The latest field poll shows the governor and state legislator have received their lowest approval ratings ever, with only 27% of voters approving of the governor's performance. The only governor to receive lower ratings in California's history was Gray Davis, just before he was recalled. Approval ratings for the state assembly were an abysmal 13%. California Assembly leaders and Los Angeles Mayor Villaraigosa announced this morning a bill that could help troubled homeowners avoid foreclosure. The bill is called the Monitored Mortgage Workout Program. As Ariel Edwards Levy reports, it would force banks to meet with borrowers and a state-appointed mediator before foreclosing homes.
There's already a national plan encouraging banks to renegotiate foreclosures, but the mayor says fewer than 1 in 5 loans ends up being modified.
These laws are Byzantine, and the opportunity to save their home is not there, but it's held like a dangling carrot for far too many.
The mortgage crisis is still hitting this state hard. 40% of the nation's foreclosures happen in California, more than in any other state. One out of every 144 homes across the state is currently in the foreclosure process. Assembly Speaker Karen Bass, one of the bill's authors, says that's a reason to do something about it.
Since California continues to rank as a state with one of the highest foreclosure rates, we believe that we should be leading the way with legislation and provide a model that other states can follow.
Villaraigosa says Los Angeles may be even worse off.
We're ground zero. Just like we're ground zero for the unemployment rate, we're ground zero for the foreclosure crisis.
Supporters of the bill say that states with similar laws have seen big results, with families entering mediation keeping their homes more than half the time. Assemblymember Pedro Nava, a co-author of the bill, painted a stark picture of the difference that could mean.
This is not an abstract issue, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to imagine just for a moment that you're confronted this afternoon with having to go back to your home, taking photographs off the mantle, taking pictures of family members, wrapping them in bubble wrap, putting them in boxes, loading them in the back of a station wagon to try to find a place to start all over again. We don't have to have that experience in California.
He criticized lenders for failing to attend the hearings on the bill.
Foreclosures in California and across this country are a cancer. The people with the cure are the banks. And so far, they're missing in action.
But Bass invited them to participate in future discussions.
I am hopeful that today's hearing will be a call for them to step up, to come to the table, to work with the legislature, to work with the mayor.
She says she hopes to see the bill go into effect by the end of the year. Ariel Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
Flu season is upon us, and this year that means swine flu. Vaccination for the H1N1 influenza have begun to arrive in Los Angeles. County health officials plan to make the vaccine available whether or not you have insurance. Timothy Beckworth has more.
County health officials have released a list of locations where uninsured people can get swine flu vaccines. Clinics will be set up in parks, community centers, and churches around the county starting October 23rd. To find out where you can get vaccinated, call 311 or go to www.publichealth.lacounty.gov.
We will be releasing the vaccine clinic schedule 2 weeks at a time as we finalize details and plans to ensure that residents without access to other health care providers will have convenient access to a clinic near them.
That's County Health Officer Dr. Jonathan Fielding. Fielding says getting vaccinated doesn't just protect yourself, but everyone you come in contact with.
Flu can very easily spread from child to child in school settings, so it's very important that children be vaccinated. And I would once again point out that it's really important that pregnant women get vaccinated because they are at higher risk.
People who work in healthcare or with children are also encouraged to be vaccinated. So far, 57 people have died in Los Angeles County from the H1N1 virus. The vaccine is 90% effective at preventing illness in healthy adults and children. Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
The National Weather Service has issued a flash flood watch as rain arrives in Southern California. Areas burned by the wildfires are in the greatest danger. Albert Sabate talked with the Weather Service about the upcoming storm.
The National Weather Service issues flash flood warnings when rain falls at a rate of 1 inch per hour or more. For burn areas, it issues warnings when there is half an inch of rainfall per hour.
Well, anytime you have a recent fire, the ground basically becomes hydrophobic, so it's not able to absorb as much water.
That's Eric Bolt from the National Weather Service.
The threat would be that you have a combination of rock, twigs, mud, all moving downhill, causing damage and a threat to people's lives.
The threat can be much larger as well.
You can have boulders and rocks the size of houses that can be undermined and washed down the mountainside because you don't have the root structure and the shrubbery and the trees in place anymore. They've all been burned.
The east-moving storm is expected to leave 1.5 to 4 inches of rain across the county. The warnings will last until noon on Wednesday. Albert Sabate, Annenberg Radio News.
Time to break out those umbrellas, Los Angeles. Tonight's forecast calls for heavy rain and temperatures in the lower 60s. The rain will continue tomorrow with highs in the mid to upper 60s. Tomorrow night will be partly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers. We do have some good news for Thursday when it should be partly cloudy in the morning, but mostly sunny for the rest of the day with highs in the 70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, a new study reignites the debate between permanent housing and more services for the homeless. Governor Schwarzenegger created an official state day of recognition for Harvey Milk. The gay rights leader was killed in the San Francisco City Hall in 1978. The governor also expanded funding for domestic abuse programs that help gay communities. Leilani Albano reports on another gay rights bill signed into law.
The governor's decision to sign SB 54 came without much fanfare, but it didn't go unnoticed by gay rights supporters.
Well, I'm appreciative that the governor recognized the need to support LGBT equality.
John Cleary is LA Stonewall Democratic Club president. SB 54, or the Family, Marriage, and Recognition Act, puts same-sex out-of-state marriages and international marriages on the same footing as the 18,000 gay couples who were married in California before voters approved Proposition 8. Prop 8 is a constitutional amendment that restricts marriage to a man and a woman. Organizers say thousands of same-sex married couples from 6 states and 7 countries may be affected by passage of SB 54. Organizers say the new law still has problems. David Comfort, spokesman for the LA-based Equality Network, says the governor doesn't go far enough in protecting same-sex unions. He calls for Prop 8 to be thrown out.
We feel like it just doesn't make any sense at all, legally or ethically, to have some same-sex marriages ruled legal and yet leave everybody else out.
And while gay rights advocates applaud the move, they also point to the fact that the governor rejected 2 other gay rights bills. The LGBT Prisoner Safety Act would have included gender and sexual orientation as factors for inmates to be considered for safe housing in prisons. He also rejected the Equal ID Act that would have allowed transgendered people in California to return to their place of origin to have their birth certificates adjusted to reflect their new gender. Cleary says the governor's move reflects his moderate views on gay rights.
What it really reflects is we have a lame duck governor who now feels empowered to, at least in these cases, act within his beliefs and not be so subject to the pressure of the right wing.
Leilani Albano, Annenberg Radio News.
The streets of Los Angeles are home to the highest population of homeless people in the country. It may be that getting them off the streets and into permanent housing could help them, and the county's purse strings more than anything else. Dominic Riley reports.
With mental illness, finding a permanent home could make the difference between life and death, or between hope and despair.
I think that's what scared me the most, is that I would become disenfranchised so much that that mental illness would take over, and I would just be, you know, just on the street.
Mark Cowan was without a place to live and feared living on the streets for a long period of time. He was introduced to a program that set him up with an apartment in Koreatown within months.
I got lucky. I got a, you know, apartment after 5 months of being there and saving my money. You know, so I'm grateful to a lot of people.
Dr. Michael Cousineau, associate professor at USC Keck School of Medicine, investigated the positive implications of providing permanent housing for homeless individuals.
By putting people into housing, we can begin to reduce those costs and save the public sector millions of dollars, which it doesn't have right now because of the economic turndown.
Cousineau and the United Way found that taxpayers would save $20,000 a year and public services for each homeless person moved off the street. These services include emergency room visits and mental health costs. Saving money and building permanent housing isn't the only cure for homelessness, says Tanya Toll, CEO of Beyond Shelter, a nonprofit organization that seeks to combat poverty and homelessness.
Think that the homeless are not a subclass in society that all look the same, and there's some sort of lesser people than people who are housed. And focus instead, if one wants to end homelessness, on overcoming barriers.
Barriers that Mark Howen is continuing to overcome daily.
This is the first time in my life that I've really lived alone, so at 59 years old now, so it's a good feeling.
For Annenberg Radio News, this is Dominic Riley.
UCLA has put a hold on plans to open a second campus of the UCLA Lab School. They were considering neighborhoods in South Los Angeles and the Pico Union District near downtown as sites for its research-based teacher training programs. I had a chance to speak with the principal of the school, Jim Kennedy. He gave a brief history of the school, as well as his thoughts on the university's decision.
It opened in 1882 in downtown Los Angeles, where the Central Public Library is, as a teacher training institute. It was called the State Normal School, to train teachers for the newly developing city. Over the years, between 1882 and the present, it moved around the city to a couple of other locations, and eventually we came here to the UCLA campus in 1947, so it's been here just over 60 years. And the commitment to training teachers and providing instructional models for best practices in education, that's remained constant over those years. What's been added as part of the UCLA work is a focus on research as well.
So how do you feel about the decision to put on hold any plans to open a second campus of the lab school?
Well, it's a big disappointment to me. I don't think it's all about me, though. I think it's a big disappointment as well for the UCLA lab school community and to some degree to UCLA as well. I think that we have a very long history, as I just quickly went over. Sometimes we've been very much at the leading edge of what's happening in terms of innovation and research and educational practice, and sometimes we haven't. And I think that this would have been a very exciting opportunity for all of us to have a really clear, hands-on, direct way to be very, very involved in the really tough issues that so many schools and families are facing in other areas of the city.
Now, were you looking to build a lab school or expand the lab school specifically in South LA or the Pico Union district near downtown?
Well, there were a couple of areas we were looking at. Those two were highlighted in the LA Times article that came out today, but we also looked at in East LA, and we were taking on the challenge of becoming very, again, very directly involved in a very real and sustained way in the toughest issues that are present around the city, the same issues that people have been grappling with for decades, and in some few cases have made some real progress, but in a lot of other cases they keep bumping up against the challenge of really advancing student progress. With that said, we still have a number of other efforts underway. We're still involved with training teachers. We still do lots of research here. We still have many different types of connections with schools and districts and other educators. So it's not that everything was dependent upon this single approach. I think it would have been a very powerful approach and one that would have been meaningful to the school and meaningful to me as well. But it's certainly not the only approach or the only thing that we do.
That was Jim Kennedy, principal of the UCLA Lab School. The foreclosure crisis will make it harder to get accurate results for the 2010 census. As families are pushed out of their homes and move in with their relatives, they become harder to count. That means many census questionnaires will be sent out to foreclosed homes. This will require extra door-to-door visits by census workers, which will make the 2010 census more expensive. More than 100 people rallied in downtown Los Angeles today in favor of immigration reform. They braved the rain and called on the Obama administration to draft the bill to reform the country's immigration system. President Obama said he won't be able to introduce legislation until next year. Now we check in with Megan McCarty to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Hey, Pete, I'm doing pretty well in the rain today, but out in La Cañada, Flint Ridge, there it's a little bit more of a serious situation. The residents there are bracing for mudslides, so we'll take you out to the burn area in La Cañada. The U.S. Geological Survey actually said that rains flowing through that, I think it's 250-acre burn area, it can move enough debris to fill a football field 60 feet deep. So those neighborhoods are really turning to the fire departments once again to help them shore up against these mudslides that could be coming their way with this storm we've got coming on. Also, we've got an update on USC running back Stephon Johnson. His doctors say he could possibly be released tomorrow. They'll be holding a press conference at 9 a.m. tomorrow at Cedars-Sinai, and Johnson says he will be there. In the UCLA stabbing case, The 20-year-old defendant has pleaded not guilty.
Thanks so much, Megan. And that wraps it up for us here today. And for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Pete Griffin.